This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We appreciate Scott Satterfield to join us in hour number one. We have more guests coming your way, including Paige Madden. And if you're wondering, hey, wait a minute, Paige Madden, where have I heard that name before? Well, you should.
Five-time ACC champion.
Great swimmer, University of Virginia. And she'll be making her debut coming up here in about 15 minutes. The Hoos, of course, take care of business again, winning the ACC championship over the weekend. And Jordan Cornett's also going to join us later this hour.
Wow. How about all that? Danny Hall, by the way, baseball coach at Georgia Tech. Huge weekend series, 3 days in a row, three different locations for Georgia Tech, Georgia. And Brian Ives makes his triumphant return to this program.
You know, and it's good to see Ives coming out again.
Yeah,
because
a little worried about him.
You know, he's a mover and shaker up there at ESPN.
He is.
He is as big a North Carolina fan as there is on the planet. And let's be honest, it'll be kind of a rough stretch if you're a Tar Heel fan.
Yeah.
And so it's good to see Ives coming out again.
Yeah. Because so, I think they were, you know, concerned about him.
I was concerned about him. We kept telling him, hey, get the sharp objects out of the room. I mean, because he is like a rah-rah Carolina Lina. I mean, he is a big-time, go get him, we. He's a we guy.
Rah-rah Carolina Lina.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, it's big.
I've always loved that fight. That's not a fight song. It's just one of the songs.
Well, you combine that with his love for the Carolina Panthers and the Charlotte Hornets.
Right.
It's been a hard go for him.
Again, you know, it would be the equivalent of what I'm staring at in 3 hours. But for a long, extended period of time.
Again, back to the dentist.
It's on the brain, man. I can't get rid of it.
I cannot wait for the full report tomorrow.
I mean, you know what I should do?
What?
How about...
Why don't you get some of the folks from social media come up? Maybe get Krister Vance to come up and meet you at the office.
Maybe a little green fly thing, since I haven't used that yet. As the dentist is putting his elbow down my throat.
How's exactly that going to sound like again? What's that going to sound like?
And he reaches for the wrench. That's a problem.
Are they going to take the tooth out or just fix it?
No. They're going to do whatever.
I mean, you're acting like you're going to get like a jaw transplant.
The last time I had something like this done, I had a root canal.
And that when was that?
That was prior to this century. I have normally really good teeth. It's one of the few DNA positives I've got going for me. And so I had a root canal a long, long time ago, and I will never forget it.
Billy and Barb gave you good teeth.
No, well, not everybody, like, not everybody in the family has that genetic sign.
I do. Yeah.
But unfortunately, I got bad news 2 weeks ago. I'm just not into
cavity.
Not into it.
Oh, no.
844-SAY-ACCN.
The only good thing about that is I don't smell the tooth on fire.
That's the other part I like.
Oh,
that's the part you got to like right there. When you know, basically I am helpless right here. Yeah, they get their money's worth when they start drilling.
You think I can bring the wireless Beats? Think that'll help?
For you?
Mm-hmm.
No. It won't help.
I feel like Ives. The heels are on, and it's like the drill. Like, I don't even want to look. I know how it's going to end.
By the way, we're playing fill in the blank in the 9 o'clock hour.
No, don't say fill in.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Fill in the blank. We got that going, too. Oh, we're not playing fill in the blank.
Oh, thank God. I'm going to fill in the blank at 11.
We're going to have fill in the cavity.
No. Do you know what we're doing?
Yeah,
right,
kind of.
Let's talk about last night's games.
All right.
Do that?
Sure,
we had two thrillers and a blowout.
We had a glob. And the glob was Syracuse beat Pitt last night.
I'm worried about Pitt. I was really high on Pitt until about, I don't know, 4 weeks ago. And what has happened to Pitt?
It's been a struggle. There's no doubt about it. Last night, Elijah Hughes, 25-9-3. Pitt just shot 29%. They kind of went back to last year when they had a hard time scoring the ball.
Exactly. You know how many points their starting lineup had last night? Take a guess.
18?
23.
Oh.
23 points out of your starting five. Now, granted, it was a weird starting lineup, but nevertheless.
Right, because it was senior night for that.
Yeah, Jeff Capel's just looking to jump start and get people rocking and rolling here, right? Just get going. But Syracuse was too good. And Buddy Boeheim gets injured with the ankle. Hopefully he'll be okay for North Carolina this weekend. But Elijah Hughes, that dude right there, he's been on the show many times. He is a bad, bad man.
Yes, he is.
And when he starts to feel it, like
look
from,
at that.
From
logo.
The logo, swish, he can light you up like a Christmas tree.
Man.
So he goes for, like you said, 25 last night, and Syracuse cruises. And I will say again, they'll miss some opportunities with Louisville and Florida State. But is it, much like Notre Dame, they have a very manageable schedule coming down the rest of the way.
Orange could win the next three.
Yes,
UNC at home to close the dome, at Boston College, and at Miami.
All winnable for the Orange. If that's the case, they're 12-8 in conference play and need a run in the tournament. They need to get somebody other than the one game against Virginia, which they beat the Hoos in OT.
By the way, Pittsburgh is at NC State on Saturday, 12 noon here on ACC Network, and then at Georgia Tech midweek. Early, like Tuesday next week, and that will be their last game until the ACC tournament. More than likely, they are now falling into that Tuesday crevice. So, you're concerned about their shooting?
I am, big time. And I think they're the perfect team for NC State after what they just went through. If you're NC State, because you know those kids are hearing about it. Man, how in the world did you guys get swept by North Carolina? Well, here comes Pittsburgh. And the way the Panthers have been playing as of late, maybe the perfect remedy for NC State.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what the Panthers have on Saturday.
Oh, you have that game?
I do. Saturday.
So let me just ask you. If NC State, as predicted, favored, wins that game,
sure.
Will the NC State fans eliminate and stop bothering you with this West Durham curse?
Sure.
Can we put it to rest?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, it would seem to me.
I would hope so, because then I'll see me next Friday when they host Wake Forest, too.
And if Pitt plays out of their minds and wins that game?
Yeah.
You might want to look into that.
Really?
I'm just saying.
Great.
Just saying.
Sure. Why not?
Because
I think this is all to deviate you from going to the dentist.
Oh, don't say it.
All right.
Don't say it. I was good there for about 2 minutes. I had totally forgotten about it.
Well, not anymore.
God,
that's why I'm here. Also last night.
Sick of Chester.
Kihei Clark at the buzzer.
Oh, what a game.
Unbelievable game, because Virginia is rolling the Hokies in the castle last night in Blacksburg. And then all of a sudden, Virginia Tech, who couldn't score against the Cavaliers, put 42 on the board in the second half. Briefly had the lead late.
Yep.
Tyrese Radford tied it at 53, and then with 2 seconds to go, Clark buries a step back three. And the Cavaliers win 56-53 in Blacksburg.
And that is now 5 in a row for Wahoo Wah, 4 of which they've won by 3 points or less. So they are very comfortable in tight games, because almost every single one they play kind of looks and feels the same. And guess who's coming to town?
Yep. They have not lost since losing to NC State, right?
Duke Blue Devils.
Yep. And Duke's there on Saturday night. And that ball game is 6 o'clock on ESPN.
I'd kind of like to be in Charlottesville Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, that place will be electric. And, you know, Duke's really kind of had their number. You know, we talked about what Roy's done to poor NC State. It's not 32-4. And, yes, it is a rivalry. But Duke has really kind of had Virginia's number.
Yep, absolutely.
It's kind of weird how all that stuff plays out.
Yeah, Bob with Shoes and Dick Vitale will be there on Saturday night for ESPN.
Now, Dan Dockich was on with me yesterday afternoon. He was getting a pedicure and drinking champagne during our radio interview. He was in Ann Arbor.
Really kind of setting the table for a nice night then, huh?
Oh, and he had his whole staff with him, kind of like what you do when you guys go on the road. Everybody get manicured. You got, you know, get the nails done, feet, hair, no, back.
Not really.
Hot rocks.
Not really.
Cocktails, one cube. So Dockich is doing the interview and said he wanted to do the Duke game.
What happened?
He said, Vitale got it from me. I said, well, I don't know how you broadcasters do all that stuff.
Yeah, Vitale taking a game, huh?
But that's going to be a big deal.
Been doing the games 40 years, dude. You can kind of get that seniority play. Seniority play.
Yeah, but you know what Dick doesn't have that Dockich does?
What?
Dan Dockich in his neighborhood has a hawk that has terrorized the entire neighborhood. And he said, it's just been going on for a long time. And he said the other day he could feel the wind. And here comes the hawk. It swooped down. It's attacked the neighborhood. He said it was coming down to get him, and he turned around and gave it a left hook and whiffed, missed, tried to punch a hawk.
That guy's against the rules.
I don't know. I don't think you can shoot it, but I think you can punch one, can't you?
I'm not sure about that.
Huh?
I don't know.
But I said, what did you do? You pull a Wilder? Just went whiffed. Didn't get him.
Nice call.
Not a Fury. Yeah, you pulled a Wilder.
Nice call.
So there you go. Now you know the rest of the story. Duke, Virginia, Saturday night.
Let's roll the tape from Boston last night. Notre Dame wins with a tenth of a second left. Kihei Clark's shot was with 2.1 left. T.J. Gibbs' game winner was with 0.1 left to go in the ball game last night. Notre Dame battles from double figures down. Wild shot to end the first half. Bigger wild shot to end the ball game.
A Ash Wednesday game between two great Catholic schools.
Sure.
And it was a thriller. I mean a thriller. And like I told you, what Notre Dame did at the last second of the first half and the last tenth of a second to end the game, in basketball history, you've never seen crazier stuff. Because the play at halftime, and Mike Bray was funny afterwards. He said, oh, yeah, that's our new play where we steal the ball at midcourt and call bank from 38 feet for the, you know, for the swish. Boom. Bang. I mean, hey, Notre Dame, pressure to win. Syracuse, pressure to win. NC State, pressure to win. Coming down the stretch here.
There you go. By the way, side note, NC State is the last team in the field in Joe Lunardi's bracketology this morning. So you'll keep that updated at ESPN.com through the weekend as well. And things can change, obviously, but the Wolfpack keeps winning. Feel like they got a chance.
Well, they do have a chance, and they also have Duke left on the schedule.
Yep.
That will be a great opportunity for them. Notre Dame desperately needing to get a win against a ranked team.
Yep.
They have a zero in that column, which is not good, but they do get Florida State at their house later on, which is important. And you mentioned, and rightfully so, Virginia is going to have something to say about it with both Duke and Louisville coming to Charlottesville. So
absolutely.
Marquee games coming down here the next couple weeks should be out of sight.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We're now going to talk to a real champion.
A real champion.
Makes her debut on the program.
Yep.
Paige Madden, and point blank, what's it like being the 2020 ACC Championship Most Valuable Swimmer?
It's pretty cool. I was really happy to do that for my team. That was the biggest goal going in, is just to score the most points for UVA. I think our goal was to score the most points that we've ever had in history, and we did that, so I'm just happy to be a part of that.
Paige, I'm not gonna pretend to be one of those guys that spends a ton of time in the water, okay? Swimming.
No.
And Mark Packer.
Wait a minute. This is breaking news.
It is. It's breaking news. Now, Paige, here's my question. You go from swimming the 500 free and the 200 back, and you went and asked to swim the 1650. Is that right?
I did.
Okay, so the 5 and the 2 seem to be a lot shorter than the 1650. What is it about swimming essentially a sprint? Now you want to swim the long program, if you will. How does that happen?
Well, really, it was because last year we didn't have any scorers in the mile, and we have so many 200 backstrokers, which was my event that I subbed out for the mile. I think we have, like, 5 or 6 other girls who swim the 2 back. And so it was kind of a chance for me to even out the point scores. We have another first year, Maddie Donahoe, who swims a mile, and she's great. But that's only one other swimmer. So I think just, like, it was just kind of a way for us to, like, even out the points.
Paige, I believe it or not, despite my partner not being very good in the water, I used to love to swim when I was a kid.
Did you?
Yeah, I was like 200 pounds less, and
okay,
I had big feet, so I could really fly in the water.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you ever swam?
I do. I remember crying a lot at my first meet. But so they have the person who they have, like, a coach in the water with you when you're little, and they, like, help you swim. And I remember, like, they were trying to help me, but I just didn't want any help. I didn't want anything to do with them. I wanted to do it all by myself. So I cried the whole way, but I finished it. And then I got a ring pop after, so.
A ring pop.
I was really proud of that. Yeah.
You know, that's amazing, because that's exactly what happens after our show. That's how they reward us if we can get through a 3-hour show.
We get a ring pop.
Yeah. How old were you the first time you jumped in the water?
The first time ever, or at a meet?
The first time you could swim. Do you remember how old you were, and was it a natural thing? I think swimmers just naturally know that, hey, man, you throw me in the water, off I go. There's some people, like Durham, jumps in the water, and it's like, man, call the lifeguard and the paramedics.
Right. I think I was too young to remember, but I remember my mom telling me that I would wear like a noodle, like a floaty ring.
Yeah.
And the floaties that go on your arm. And then I would only get on the first step. I don't remember that, but that's just what my mom tells me.
All right. So now you're a 5-time ACC champion. You've been to the World University Games. You've medaled there. Certainly you want to contend for national championships, and not only in individually, but also in a team. Swimming has become, I want to say, second nature, or first nature for you. What's it like for you in the water? What, I mean, I'm always fascinated by swimmers and golfers and people that can block everything out. So what's it like in the heat of competition? They fire the gun and bang, you're in the water. What's that like?
Well, I think every race is different. Obviously, it's different if you're swimming like 100 free versus a mile. But I think I'm very good at compartmentalizing. And I just, when I swim, people ask me, like, hey, what do you think about during the mile? I'm like, I only think about swimming. I just like to focus on what I'm doing during that time. So I guess that's what it's like. It's hard, but... I think I have good focus.
Paige, I've always been amazed, too, when it comes to college swimmers, Olympic swimmers, and so forth, how much time you spend in the water. And I'm not sure a person that doesn't follow swimming or follow college swimming much on top of that, how much time during the day are you in the water at the University of Virginia?
Well, so we're limited to 20 hour of practice during the week. But a lot of that is out of water stuff. So we have lift and dry land. And so that's probably accounts for about 5 hours per week. So I'm probably swimming a total of 15 hours.
So, I mean, but like in your quote unquote downtime, and I know you probably don't have much of it, how often you just go, hey, you know what? I got an hour to kill. Let me just go do, I don't know, 8,000 laps.
Never. I never do that. I always take advantage of the downtime to recover and, like, take a nap or, you know, get a good snack. So I would never do that.
Tell me about you just mentioned dry land. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the weights part I get? What's dry land?
Right. It's kind of just, I would say, more like cardio. It's called dry land because, like, we're not wet. which... But, yeah, so we do, like, med ball stuff, a lot of abs, pull-ups, jumps. We kind of cycle throughout the year. So, like, right now we're in a pull-ups and jump cycle. But, yeah, there's a lot of med ball work, a lot of partner work. So it's a little similar to weights, but it's more, I guess, high intensity. That's how I would describe it.
A lot of folks don't know this, but you are the president of Encore, which helps senior citizens and assisted living and so forth. How did you get tied into that, and what's the passion behind that for you?
So I actually got into the club because Anna Dickinson, who graduated last year, was on the swim team, and she introduced me to the club. She was also president, so she kind of introduced me and, trained me, I guess. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think it's a good distraction from swimming. It's pretty rewarding. Last on Valentine's Day, we delivered roses to the senior citizens, and but yeah, it's a good outlet between swimming and academics.
It's also something that strikes me that a lot of people think about, and we just talked about time management here, 20 hours a week to practice, classes, mm-hmm. all the things that go into being a college student athlete. To have something like this where you're giving back in the community, whether it be something like Encore or maybe with underprivileged kids, schoolwork, whatever the case may be, that's a complete gear shift, right? I mean, that's just something that totally brings everything back to center, I would imagine.
Right, yeah. I think it's all about balance. I try to, like, balance my life in every aspect, not try to focus too much on my sport or academics, but, like, they go hand in hand and kind of, like, balance each other out and make me a more well-rounded person, I guess. So that's the goal.
All right, we ask this to every single student athlete that appears on this show, Paige. You're up there at the University of Virginia, one of the great academic institutions in America. What has been your toughest class?
Definitely organic chemistry. That's a historically tough course, and I can definitely say that that's true.
So that was the one, huh?
Right, yeah. But, you know, it's over with, so maybe it's just downhill from here.
Well, wait a second. We just kind of dismissed it as it's over with.
It's
kind of like, yeah, well, that's over with. So begs the question, how'd we do in organic chemistry?
I got a B, so I was very proud of that, yeah. I didn't do very well in the final, but I still got by, so that's good.
You know, it's a rumor that for average people like ourselves here in the basement, that a swimming exercise may be the best exercise that a person can have. When you get finished with a meet, especially the ACC championship, what do you eat? Because I have seen swimmers put on an amazing display, men and women.
I think my favorite thing to eat is definitely like pasta, and I can eat a lot of pasta. We've had like Olive Garden or Carrabba's delivered to the pool, and you just chow down like after you swim. And yeah, you can definitely put it down. So
we go heavy carb. Is that what we do?
Yes.
We carb out. And so, like,
lots
when you say,
carbs.
All right, so for example, real quickly, I know you're running out of time, and so are we, but when you say Olive Garden or Carrabba's shows up with pasta, are you talking like multiple bowls? I mean, is it like a disgusting display, or is it or just one and I'm good?
Well, so they ask us if we want one or two meals, and most of the team asks for two meals, so, and most of the team finishes it, so,
nice.
Yeah, it's a good amount of food.
That's a Packer and Durham standard right there, the two meals, Paige.
You just took it to another level, yep. Paige.
All right. You did a great job. Thank you. Good luck the rest of the way. Congratulations on being the MVS of the ACC Championships.
Thank you.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
I'm being told the actual drill today at the dentist might be a little bigger.
Might be a little cleaner.
Jordan Cornette joins us on Packer and Durham. JC, look at my man.
You're an evil man.
No.
You're an evil man, Wes.
Come on. By the way, whose jersey did you steal out of the United Center?
Hey, you know, I'm just trying to put the black in Blackhawks, man. Like, I'm a supporter. Here we go. I'm a big hockey guy. Big hockey guy.
I will say this. You were filling in for Western. Oh, I hate saying that word, too. Filling in. When you were hanging out, I feel better about that, in the basement a couple of weeks ago for Wes, you were telling me about how excited you were to finally close on the house. And let me tell you now.
The house looks nice.
It's looking – the sweater looks great. But, man, the home, man, you guys have hit it out of the park. Looks good.
Look, it's not as palatial as the Packer Estate. But us lowly Cornettes, we're working on it. It is very good to be in our home. We're officially Northeasterners. That's why I got to let them know in hockey country out here that the Blackhawks – still reign supreme, even though we're in the midst of a rebuild somewhat going on right now. We are very happy to finally be firmly supplanted here. Great neighbors. My wife is a great decorator, as you can see. I had nothing to do with any of this stuff.
Good.
You guys
keep it that
goes.
Way. Yeah, keep it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't touch a thing. All right, let's review last night. And I want to talk about Big Shot Kihei Clark to start. And then that well-designed play Mike Bray ran at the end of not only the first half, but also the end of the game for Notre Dame. First of all, Virginia, I mean, they just keep finding ways here, Jordan. They're going to be a scary team in Greensboro.
Well, like you guys talked about earlier in the show, it's a Virginia team that's won five games in a row. They're the reigning national champion. I mean, these guys, it's a lot of it is inside their fabric when you've got guys like Kihei Clark, Mamadi Diakite, Braxton Key. Those guys play large roles in this team winning a national championship last year. So they found a little bit of their footing with some shooting. They didn't get a lot of it last night, but it's opened up a little bit in this five-game stretch. And to win such close games, it's because they're made of that championship ilk. I look at a team like Virginia, and they're unique because, yes, it's been an ugly year at times, yet they're still in position to make the tournament. But in every ACC game this year, at the under four timeout, the last 4 minutes of the game, they have led in every ACC game this year, which says to me they're already going to get into the tournament. And showing how cool of a customer they are at the end of games right now, there's no reason to believe that this team can't put together a run in March.
And that sets up Saturday night. Here comes Duke off a totally disappointing effort against Wake Forest. Again, they thought they had that thing won up 9 with a buck 20 to go. Didn't close. But Duke's had great success against Tony Bennett in Virginia. But, man, that will be some kind of scene in Charlottesville. A really, really important game, big picture.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge for Virginia. For Virginia fans, you're not worried about making the tournament. You're worried about improving your seeding. And I think they're still very hungry to try and make another run. Duke is a fascinating team. Loads of talent. Do they have some weird – they have to be one of the more elite teams with more weird losses than any team in the country. I'm really curious to see how Duke comes out in this one because – like we all know how Virginia does, they're going to make it an awkward game, maximizing possessions. But again, you've got another floor leader on the other side, Trey Jones, that'll get the most out of those possessions, putting his pieces in place. Vernon Carey, I expect him to have a big game in this one against this Virginia front line. That place could be rocking. It's set up nicely for Virginia to continue a run, but I expect Duke to bring their everything.
Jordan, what concerned you the other night in Winston-Salem about Duke? I mean, is it a one-night thing, or is it something you see maybe potentially affecting them down the road?
You could easily say it's a one-night thing, but I feel like we've kind of done that with every Duke loss. It's just a one-time thing. But they've been some head-scratching losses. Wake Forest was vintage Wake Forest in that game, meaning they punched you right here, right in that chin. And they kept going to the rim, and that's what they do. They get to the free throw line as good as any team in the ACC. And Brandon Childress, who was left quiet largely for the most of the game, really turned it on at the stretch. What was concerning to me is the same thing when I talk about Louisville. When your back's up against the wall and you had repeated chances to take care of business, you couldn't. And that's something that's a little bit perplexing to me in this particular matchup with Duke. But let's be real. Look at the body of work with what Duke has done this season. They have proven they are a championship caliber team. Playing through Vernon Carey always gives them a shot. The ability to make shots on the outside after you've established the inside is their best blueprint. When you have Trey Jones, I'm still a huge believer in what Duke can do.
All right, let's talk about your alma mater. Still hanging around, still needs a big W. You got Florida State coming to town eventually. But last night was a game they just could ill afford to lose. And with 0.1 seconds, no problem. Mike Bray's guys get the win by one. Still alive, still kicking, and it's still right in front of them.
Yeah, still right in front of them, but they've got a steep incline to get there. I'm still a little bit perplexed at the lack of ashes on foreheads at a Boston College-Notre Dame game on Ash Wednesday. I'm trying to figure that one out. I think there's a lot of parents that were let down looking at their children seeing no ashes. But that's aside the point. What it comes down to is, look, we're at the end of February. We're on the precipice of March. And this is the end of basketball careers for seniors. You look at Notre Dame. You look at the end of that half. And, Pack, you're absolutely right. Have you ever seen a weirder ending to a half and end of game? But that goes back to those seniors. The end of the half, Rex Pfluger gets that steal, makes that half-court shot. You have reason for some optimism going into the half, into the locker room. Then at the end of the game, well, getting you to the end of the game is John Mooney, who's absolutely masterful and dominant like he's been all season long, senior. Then you get to the last play. Prentice Hubyes, a sophomore, cool, calm, collected to get it to TJ Gibbs, a senior who drips that thing in with a finesse touch shot that is degree of difficulty at 10 with what's on the line. The seniors for Notre Dame delivered when they had to have it. And more impressively, Notre Dame, whose blueprint is winning with the outside shot, couldn't make shots and grind it out to get a road win to stay alive. Impressive to me.
Well, Pfluger is just, you know, the guy, he hits shots and talks to the crowd with the best of any of them in the ACC right now. It's unbelievable what he's doing. All right, so let's get to kind of the way this falls. We've talked about Duke and Virginia a little bit. Is there a game coming up this weekend that intrigues you? FSU Clemson, Pac touched on that in the first hour. The way Clemson's playing and Amir Sims and things like that. And Leonard Hamilton's team can ill afford to have one of those kind of drop-off halves, and they've had a couple this year. Is that one catch your eye? Which one is it that you're looking out for?
You know, we talked about the Duke Virginia. I definitely have to say it'd be Florida State Clemson. I believe that game is at Clemson, correct?
Yes.
Yes, and the way Clemson's able to shoot the basketball at home, play with a different type of confidence, we've seen the heavyweights they've been able to knock off there. Look, Clemson, with the impressive wins they have, there's a lot of bad losses there, so they're not in this discussion. But you never know down the stretch what can happen here. Clemson could be one of those funky teams if they get another win like this and they go on some sort of run in the ACC tournament. Look, it's not another team that you're going to say, yeah, that's a tournament team. Not at all, but I've been firsthand there to see what Clemson's been able to do at home when they absolutely annihilated Louisville. And it wasn't really even as much Amir Sims as it was the rest of that perimeter and them knocking down shots. They play with an energy there. They get excited to bring in teams like that. I'm just so fascinated with what Florida State continues to do game in and game out. So I'm still going to lean Florida State, but I do think that that's going to be a knockdown dragout.
Jordan, Joe Lenardi still has NC State in the dance.
Can you believe it?
Well, I mean, you know, who knows how this is going to play out, but you just had that funny feeling when they went to Chapel Hill. There's just something about Roy Williams with a big smile on his face every time he sees NC State. So they lose, they get swept by the Heels, but again, Lenardi still has them in. They get probably the perfect remedy, which is Pittsburgh, the way the Panthers are playing right now, coming to their house this weekend. But I mean, try to crystal ball NC State. Good luck doing that too, by the way.
Well, these games, I mean, you talk about Pitt, but that's as big as playing one of these top teams, because if you lose there, Joe Lenardi takes your resume and rips it up, and there's no consideration after that. So much like Notre Dame playing Wake, the next game is huge for NC State. Markell Johnson gave them everything, and it wasn't enough for UNC, but he's got to continue to be that for this team. It's got to be him, Funderburk, and Bryce that lead the way. The perimeter has to set the tone, and Funderburk has to bring the energy. NC State, with those record in the ACC, 5 quad 1 wins, puts them in position. But think about what NC State was last year. They were playing in what everybody thought to be a playing game versus Clemson in the first round of the ACC tournament. They win that game. They do one of these and think they're dancing. But the tournament committee had a different plan in mind. So for NC State, much like these other teams, you want to amass as many wins as possible. Look, their margin for error, different from Notre Dame and Syracuse, where I think Notre Dame and Syracuse have to get to the finals of the ACC tournament. I think NC State needs to win out just to continue to hold off anything and then win a couple games in this ACC tournament so they can feel more confident than they felt last year being left out.
You know, from a confidence factor, I would tell you I think the Duke win has to happen if they want insurance, okay? If they beat Duke, yeah. I don't think they have to win a game in the tournament. I think they go regardless.
You're right. They wouldn't.
If they beat Duke, I absolutely agree. If they don't have to win in Greensboro if they beat Duke.
You like their chances to beat Duke after what they did to Duke and Ryan?
Well, but here's what I was going to say. The way I'm thinking about this, I don't think if they lose to Duke and win the other games, Pitt and Wake Forest, and I think they win Wednesday in the tournament, because they will not play Tuesday. They'll be a Wednesday team. If they win Wednesday,
that'll probably be a loss to a quad one opponent too.
That's correct.
An ugly loss,
right? And as much as Kevin wants a 6 quad 1 win, how many times did he talk about quad one wins last week? Right?
I mean, you beat that drum,
right? So I think he can actually, if he were to win Wednesday, and then by the way, Thursday's on the house. If he wins that game and gets to Friday night, he's definitely in. But I think they can lose to Duke, but they can't lose. They can't lose Wednesday, and they can't lose Pitt Wake Forest.
It's just at this time of the year, I agree with you, Wes, but this time of the year, you just want to be greedy. You just don't want to leave it in somebody's hands. You beat Duke, like you're saying, you just feel more confident. You lose that game, and you have to watch everything going on in college basketball. That's why the Wolfpack are still in this thing. When we spoke to Joe Lenardi yesterday on All ACC, the first question I had a chance to ask him was, how are the Wolfpack still in it? He said, well, the field hasn't seized the opportunity to surpass them. Somebody has to jump them. So despite what they didn't do, nobody else around them did anything. So you don't want to be in a position where you have to watch these other teams. Go beat Duke, and like Wes is saying, feel a little bit more confident, and then go win a game in the ACC tournament. Then you don't even have to watch Sunday to make the tournament. You're wondering who you're playing.
No, they're going to have to watch. They'll watch. They're going to watch. They're watching. Hey, tell Shay she's done a wonderful job with the house, and don't you touch a thing, okay? Don't you even.
I will.
You can unpack a box, but don't do anything with it.
Only thing I touch, you see the refrigerator back there. I crush it. Listening to Paige in the last segment was mortifying to me. Talking about eating all that Olive Garden and she's in peak shape, and she's crushing it at the ACC championship. I'm wearing this sweater because it hides my figure, because I live back there.
There you go.
That's everybody, where I live.
Everybody needs two bowls of pasta, guarantee you.
Hey, and don't forget, we're all here for you. We're all here for you right here with the drill.
Hey, if you need hey Wes, you might need somebody to fill it. Pax can be out for a week. I mean,
fill in, yeah. Fill in the key word. Thank you. Yeah.
He's probably going to be out for 2 weeks, right?
Thanks, Jordan Cornett. Catch him on All ACC. And we appreciate my man. That's it. Yeah, go Blackhawks. Great.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
We told you going to break as part of Black History Month, the ACC Network and ESPN are celebrating those that, you know, made a statement. They were unbelievable leaders in the 1960s and 70s across our platforms, but especially here so in the ACC. And while we've talked about student athletes, and rightly so. I mean, a player like Charles Scott, we talked about what he did at North Carolina in basketball, Al Hartley in basketball at NC State, Freddie Summers, a quarterback at Wake Forest, right? I mean, it's amazing. At Clemson, Marion Reeves became the first African-American football player.
Ran down the hill.
Yep, and Craig Mobley broke the color barrier when he took the basketball court in the fall of 1970. Yep. But as you'll see in this Black History Month moment here on ACC Network, it was a group of students, some in the band, some in engineering, that decided they wanted to make a difference after the assassination of Dr. King. And the mission that he left them with still impacts them today.
In the 60s, it was a time of turmoil. The country was in the midst of change. Things were very much segregated.
The year that I came to Clemson, some students were protesting about integration of facilities in Orangeburg, and kids were killed. And I was here at Clemson. There were 12 of us, and it's like, ooh, wow, what's going to happen to us? And Clemson protected us. We didn't know we were protected, but none of that happened here.
Integration at Clemson has been characterized as integration with dignity. We were welcomed.
Dr. King was a very big inspirational force in my life, inspiring and then giving us hope, telling us to dream.
His biggest message was nonviolence, turn the other cheek. We thought he was a hero.
America is shocked and saddened by the brutal slaying tonight of Dr. Martin Luther King.
I was here on campus. I remember feeling and having the same sense of bewilderment as when President Kennedy was killed. It was almost disbelief.
I was a little afraid. Suppose something like that starts happening on a wide scale, this country could see race riots.
I cried. I knew immediately that. Excuse me.
That I wanted to go to his funeral.
I wanted to represent the family.
As the few of us that were black on campus gravitated towards each other, and we immediately talked about needing and wanting to go to his funeral or be present in some way.
We're at Clemson because of Martin Luther King. We need to do something. Ron Berry was closest to the Dean Cox, and he asked him, can we go to the funeral?
We somehow found a way to get down there and getting Clemson to loan us vans, and that turned out to be a big deal for us. Certainly, at this time in our history, for a major white university to assist its black students to attend Dr. Martin Luther King's funeral was unusual.
Well, we couldn't get into church. So we found a fire escape and climbed up on the top of the four-story building across from the street. And they had, of course, they had loudspeakers.
We need to know that there is someone.
And we heard them.
Who loves us.
We heard the eulogy.
Cares for
and
us.
The songs and all the ceremony that was going on in the church. The streets were lined all the way from Marvin Street to Morehouse. I've never seen so many black folk in my life.
The anger over him being assassinated, I didn't feel that much at the funeral. I felt the pride of, you know, the nation's watching this and the nation's honoring this black man.
To now look back and think how magnificent that was for our university to do that means a lot to all of us.
We had a lot of experiences, and it's good to be able to see people and talk about the times that we had then. And
his dream has not been fulfilled. But hopefully, you know, the dream will come true.
Anytime you have somebody that has impacted America the way that Dr. Martin Luther King did, we need to have as many memories as we can, because we all continue to grow from what he taught us.
We work with a lot of really talented people, far more talented than the two of us in here.
You know, people doing
and those
that
people
kind of,
right there.
People doing that kind of work are not doing a show from the basement.
No.
These are really.
No, those are real professionals
piece.
Right there.
That's a great piece.
Phenomenal piece. And our pleasure to bring it to you as part of the program this morning. There's stories like that at every institution. We talked about Barry Jacobs' book last week. I mean, it just the journey those people walked in whatever, whether it would be athletically related or not, Pac, is phenomenal, isn't it?
And it's also a reminder of everything that's going on in this country right now. We're not going to go political on you, but, you know, I hope everybody does take some time to let that marinate a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just treat people with respect. It's not hard. It's free of charge.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.